start with a word of prayer, and then we'll take a nap. Dear Lord, I thank you for the beautiful day here in Napa, considering all the rain that we've had. Lord, I thank you for the loveliness of it. I thank you for Hopewell Baptist and the church here and Pastor and Mrs. Ray and their big heart for us ladies. I ask, Father, that you please would help just calm my nerves, help it to not be a waste of time for anybody. Lord, fill me. I ask that I would not say more than I need to say. I would say exactly what would help all of us, and that we would feel more equipped, better prepared as we leave this room as moms, the greatest job and title that any of us could ever ask for. Lord, we love you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. As we have Mrs. Cavan is here, and basically, minus Mrs. Reynolds' faith, I'm the youngest, and I still have little humans at home, not quite this little, but little humans at home, and so when Pastor had asked if I would speak on child rearing, I thought it was a joke, because he is a jokester, because certainly he wouldn't want me to speak on child rearing, Pastor said, and so I obey. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to have a 30-minute nap time. Do not feel, I think you and I were talking on the way here. I think until I'm dead or my kids are dead, I don't think I will ever feel okay to speak on child rearing. They still have choices to make. And that's a very scary thought. So please do not go and find my children in 20 years. I'll introduce really quickly in just a moment. Actually, I had asked Amelia, my 18-year-old, who's here, I had said, okay, since Pastor's asked about teach on child rearing, let's just go the exact opposite of it. I want you to come in here, thug of all thugs, the most terrible attitude, and just, I'll prove the point that I clearly do not know what I'm doing in here. But I don't think Amelia could act as a thug. I don't, she's just a sweetie. So, where I would like to speak from is in Matthew 5. But as you're slowly turning there, anybody, can you tell me what is famous about Matthew 5? Just, I like dialogue. I like talking. Matthew 5, ring a bell, anybody? Yeah. The Beatitudes, yes. I want to talk candy to you. yes, the Beatitudes, exactly. I'm going to place this here. Okay. Yes, we're going to speak the Beatitudes of parenting, basically. From 2 on, for 11 verses, he talks about blessed are they. And at the end, he ends it with rejoice and be exceeding glad. Now, after these, don't look ahead, but after the Beatitudes, those 11 verses, what else is Matthew 5 famous for? If you don't know, just quickly glance ahead a little bit. There's also a couple of, ye are the is salt, ye are the light of the world. Okay, so Matthew 5 is chocked full of wisdom. And we're going to dive into a little bit of Matthew 5. Just really quickly, so you know where I'm coming from. I think, as I've spoken to a few of our young people in our church, I think that in little ones' minds, people just think, okay, you're a pastor's wife, you came out of the womb as a pastor's wife, and it just doesn't happen that way. So just so you can kind of know where I'm coming from. My dad was in the Army, and my dad was stationed in Korea. Not my mom, she's Korean. So we moved around a lot. And then my mom and dad ended up getting a divorce. And I was with my dad for 5 years. It was my dad and me and a couple of stepmoms here and there. And then when I was 10, my mom and my stepdad got custody of me. They lived all the way in Japan. And so have you guys heard of NCIS? So my stepdad was a special agent, actually, for NCIS, a real thing. It used to be called NIS. But so just situations. Judge thought it was better that I would go from Alabama all the way to Japan to go live with my mom and my stepdad. And when I was with my dad, we didn't go to church, even though Bible Belt, churches everywhere. It's just not the lifestyle that my dad was living at the time. And then I moved to Japan, and my mom made sure that I went to the chapel there on the Navy base. My stepdad was not a believer, but my mom made sure that I went to chapel, to the chapel. Then, just before middle school, my stepdad, was transferred here to Mare Island, and so that's how we ended up in Napa. Well, my mom, being a Christian and a wonderful, godly woman, she opened up the phone book. I was explaining this to a couple of teens. I was teaching junior church. I was filling in. I said, do you guys even know what stepdads are? It's not this big. You can't sit on this to make yourself taller. So I said, it's a book you open up and y'all know about. My mom opened up the phone book, and she said, we're going to go to church, and we're going to go church shopping, basically, is what she said we're going to do. Well, she just started at the beginning, and we went each Sunday to a different church. Well, fortunately, H for Hopewell is not too far down the line. We went to Hopewell, came here, and the following Saturday, Pastor Ray came to our house, and I had never heard, even though I went to the chapel for a year and a half there in Japan on the Navy base, I'd never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And Pastor laid it all out in front of me, and I knew I was a sinner headed to hell. I was a good kid, but it's not goodness that gets you to heaven. And it was there in the living room, not too far from here. During this trip, we have to always drive by 1537 Yellowstone Street. But I got saved there, and we came here. And my mom, Pastor Ray coming the following Saturday, of all the churches that we'd ever been to, he was the pastor who came to visit. And she said, seal the deal. This is what we're going to do. So my mom and I came, and she had to use a lot of wisdom, because my dad was not a believer. So we came faithfully Sunday mornings, and then she kind of slowly added in. I don't remember if it was Sunday nights or Wednesday nights first, but she slowly added in one extra service, and then made sure I was at teen activities, and then slowly added in the third service. My dad would try to say, well, Becky needs to study. I went to public school here. And my mom said, yes, you're right. She does need to study, but church first. And I will forever be grateful to my mom in the singles class right now. I will throw in my biological dad, he passed away in a car accident, and then my stepfather passed away. It's been almost 10 years now, so she is actually single. Just meandering over there. But it was here, not only did I come to know the Lord, and I grew as a Christian baby steps, unfortunately. As I like to say, I kind of rode on the coattails of my mom's Christianity. It was my faith. I believed. But doing the Christian life, I did because my mom told me. And do I regret it? Yes. But it's also where I can say to people, I didn't come out of the womb, or, it's stories that we can share with people. It adds badges of, look, I wasn't always like this, or look, just like Mrs. Walker was saying. And I think it's more, well, of course you went to church. You're in church now. Of course you went to China. But no, it's not an of course. It's all God's grace. But, here, in 2000, Pastor Ray hired this guy, really handsome guy, and it's pretty neat. Pastor told him, I'll give you a job, I'll give you a place to stay, and I guess he had me
a woman
to marry. But I was the only single girl here, so went again for a little bit. So very long, wonderful, beautiful story short. We got married here in 2002, and I'll share more with the teenagers another portion of the testimony. But just again, I was riding on my mom's coattails. I was doing my agenda. But I was a good kid. I was a good Christian girl. But my agenda, Becky's agenda, I never ran it by the Lord. went to a secular college and came back home for the summer. And I didn't want to be away from home. And so I asked my mom and my dad and my stepdad if I could go to the junior college here. And to my surprise, my Asian mom said, okay. I think she missed me too. So I was able to go to the junior college here and not have to go away to school. And it was during that time that Pastor said, I want you doing this and this and this here. What you're doing in Sunday school class, or junior church, whatever it is, he said. And it was then being in front of these little humans that I realized they're looking to me to point them to Christ when I've been writing on my mom's coattail of her relationship with the Lord. And I need to get my own. And so that's when I started seeking the Lord and what he wanted. And I just said, okay, bear the rain, you take over. Before, but I got a plan. I'm going to be a doctor. And then I'll do mission work with my medical degree. Never consulting him about it. Just noble calls, right? Surely it's good. But it wasn't what he had for me at the time. Medicine's still a passion of mine. Someday it'll happen. I'll be able. But William and I, and through that, by being home, William came into my life, and we got married. And William had told me from the very beginning that I'm called to China. Basically, on our first date, basically, this is how I imagine I'm going to live in China. I'm not going to go on deputation. I'm just going to go. And if you are okay with that, then we'll have more dates. If you're not, then this will be the first and last date. When I say it like that to him, he's like, that's not how it was. Basically, it was. And I was like, okay. So we were married here in 02, and we were going to go. He was a principal of school here, the Christian school here, and so we were going to go in 03, go to China. We got pregnant. And all the fear of man, of taking a pregnant wife over to China, or, you know, taking the first grandbaby on both sides, all those things. So he said, okay, we'll postpone by a year. But we lost that baby. And William said, I know we're supposed to go. Regardless of another baby or not, we're supposed to go. So sure enough, we got pregnant again. And, but 6 months pregnant, we got on an airplane and we headed to China. And just, in November of that year, we had Josiah in Beijing. Josiah is 20. I did bring a picture. You can't not. So there's the handsome guy, that guy, William, and then Josiah, who's 20, I cannot believe it, but yes, he's 20 years old, and then our Amelia, she's here, she's 18, and then Hannah is 12, and then Tabitha is 10. We had our two bigs in Beijing, and we had our two littles in Chengdu, and, you know, I look at the four of these humans, and my cup runneth over. Mm-hmm. Are there hard days? Are there bad days? Yes. But my cup runneth over. Before we jump into the Beatitudes, I wanted to talk about negative consequences and positive consequences. And again, please talk to me. I don't like talking to myself. Potential negative consequence of smoking for us. If somebody else smokes, what's the negative consequence for us?
Lung cancer,
secondhand smoke, getting addicted, you know, just trying that one puff for the next puff. So these are negative consequences of smoking. What about when a mom is pregnant and she takes drugs, she's addicted to drugs? What are some of the negative consequences of that?
Birth defects,
deformities, disabilities, and so on. What about negative consequence to drinking and driving?
Death.
And that's how my biological dad, he was an alcoholic, and my dad had been sober for 4 years, problems with wife number 5, and he went back to the bottle, and first time going back to the bottle in 4 years, and he was driving home, and fortunately there was nobody else involved, but that's what took my dad's life. It's a negative consequence to drinking and driving. So what about some of the good consequences? You pay attention to your classes, you study hard, a positive consequence is? Good grades. And then you get to go pass that class and move on to the next class, pass that class, and then you get your diploma, and you're all done. What about, this is kind of one that kind of like hits me right here, meal planning?
You're
Jacqueline is my hero, my heroine for sure. A positive consequence or a positive result from meal planning is
when you do it, you're less stressed.
That blank piece of paper. Goodness. Right, it is very, very difficult. So yes.
What was that?
What to make. But if you have it, then you feel I'm ready. Come on, kid, bring on the day. You're saving money. Nobody's hangry. Or as you're shopping because you don't have stuff for dinner and you're hungry and more stuff goes into your cart. Yes, yes, I'm not the only one. Very good. Okay. Working hard, we save money, and we're able a positive consequence of that. Positive result is we can go on our bucket list vacations and so on and so forth. What about positive consequence from your faithfulness? It's obedience reaped in the next generation.
Blessings.
Yes, blessings for you and blessings for the next generation. Mm-hmm. And that's our goal, is the faithfulness from us, the positive consequences of hearing our Savior say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, but also reaping the good consequence, good results in the next generation. So the Beatitudes, it's more, I could give, things that we have tried with R4. And none of it is original. There's books galore. Or you watch another mom do something and you're like, I'm going to implement that in my home. I could talk about, like Adela, right? You have a blanket. I mean, we did this with all four of our kids. You have a blanket. And these are your boundaries. So I could go through that, but we have a myriad in here. We have so much itty bitties. Anybody with itty bitty? No bunny. Ladies, get to work. But we also have where you're old and you have a 20-year-old. So there are those. But I think more of child rearing, honestly, is parenting. It's you. It's Jaden, what are you doing here? Oh, Jaden, no pictures. I'm just kidding.
Your mama did a great job.
Rachel. I'm just kidding. You're so sweet. It's not changing our children. It's looking at the mirror and saying, I need to be a better person, a better Christian, a better mom, because they're watching us. I just have a quick question, just because I'm kind of in that position now. When we were in China for 17 years, I don't know, maybe because we were the foreigners, so people just kind of stared anyhow. Yes, actually, no. Especially the kids. Yes, I just want to take all the pictures. But I know that when I was here in the auditorium, pastor said something or one of the kids say something, and where do our eyes as the congregation, who do our eyes go to when pastor, somebody speaking to something about their family or about their wife? Uh-huh. What do? I did a whole lot to Mrs. Ray. Yes, you just, because you want to see who said it. Their reaction, is the wife going, now Mrs. Ray never did that. Is she doing that? Is she laughing? Do I laugh? Are the kids taking it? We are watching the reaction of the pastor's wife, the pastor's kids. Our kids are watching our reactions all the time. And just like, you're looking at the pastor, and Mrs. Ray kind of sat over here. My mom and I sat here. And, you're focused, but you still very, very, steal a look. I'm not the only one, right? We all do it. You just really quickly try to glance over, but very clandestinely. Our kids are doing the same thing. Now, sometimes they're a little obnoxious about it.
The mom's reaction to dad saying that.
They're a little obnoxious about it. But as they get more and more mature, they steal those books to see how mom's reacting. How mom reacted to that mean person. How mom reacted to dad. How mom reacted to that kid back talking. So let's dive into the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I want you, if you will, imagine with me a spot in your area where the person with the sign sits, you know, at an intersection or in a grocery area, a shopping area, you know, anything helps or, you know, explains the situation, unfortunate circumstance that their family is in. You picture that spot, right? In your area. Can you picture it? Do they have it? They didn't in China.
They have it in Mongolia.
Do they? Okay. In China. It's one of the good things about the communist regime. Yes.
Hardcore.
Yes, hardcore, yes. So imagine the person with the sign. Okay? Are you picturing it with me? You have that person. Sometimes it rotates, sometimes it's a different person. Now, it takes a certain amount of humility, desperation to do that. I would rather work, and I'm not advocating that they should be there on the street with a sign, but there's a desperation in them. There is a humility in them to be able to go out there and to do that. Now, coupled with laziness, or perhaps not all circumstances is laziness, whatever the situation, but there's a desperation. And I'm not talking about just poor as in money, but there's spirit. There's a spirit of humility, a spirit of desperation. And what I'm saying is that for us, we need that spirit of humility with our children. We need that spirit of desperation where they see it in our eyes that we want you to obey. Mm-hmm. We want you to succeed. It's not that we're just that iron fist of communism. It's a desperation. It's a humility that I'm coming before my child. Some of the big things. I think the humility and being able to say, I'm sorry. With the big arguments, where you are just flat out wrong. Or even to the little ones. I don't know. Josiah is like on this streak of being, you know, when they pass you up, kind of like intelligence. It's not very hard, but Josiah has surpassed me. And not in wisdom yet, but I hope you heard that. But with little facts, and I don't know, for example, he has a very unique opportunity right now to get his private pilot license. I also have my private pilot license. Amen. And we were talking about something, and let's just say that it had to do with airspace, and it was a very minute fact. But I'm nobody. It's 12 feet. Mom, no, it's 11 feet. No, son, it's 12 feet. I've already done this. I've been there. I've done that. No, it was a couple of decades ago. But I know. No, Mom, I'm pretty sure. Well, you know, now we can settle arguments right away. And it'd be easy just to say, oh, well, I was wrong. But, you know, in my head, I was wrong and shluff it off. But it's the little things, too, where it's a spirit of humility where I go, I said, but I'm always wrong. You're right. Again. We need to have that poor spirit where we have humility. We are older. We have more wisdom. We have more intelligence. But we need that spirit of humility going before our kids. Then in verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I think this one, if you... with both boys and girls, but probably more with girls, we have the empathy. We are mourning with them in empathy and in sympathy. And I know I was very fortunate growing up, even going to public school. I was very shielded, or maybe I avoided. I don't know. I didn't have a lot of girl drama around me. I didn't like a lot of drama. And so it just... I don't know. I was very fortunate. But when you have a small church, your kids are all homeschooled, and then, I mean, so for me, it would be very easy just to say, well, you don't need that friend, or just blow her off. But that's not mourning with her, as her heart is grieved. She's sad because this friendship can't work. And so, I have empathy with her. I need to get down there and feel that pain with her. And I believe it was Mrs. Walker last night, you know, where it's easy for us probably, I don't know, meaner people to just say, you know, well, just, it's fine. Get thicker skin. You'll be fine. Put on your big girl panties. I don't know how many times I've wanted to say that to one daughter in particular. She's just a little bit more emotional than the other three, or than I ever was. And I just want to say, fine, toughen up. You don't need to be crying. But I'm not mourning with her. So we want to grieve with them. We want to feel their feelings. Their little grieves. Grievances from others towards them, they're big to them in their life. We need to make them equally big. We need to internalize that. Not, oh yeah, I can't stand that girl. I can't use a name because people are in here that are from my church. Becky, I can't stand that girl. Okay. Not internalizing it that way, but we hurt with them, and then we come up with a game plan. You've continue to get hurt. This one daughter of mine, she continues to get hurt just because of the, you know, they're pretty. They're just, their emotions are all over the place. And you combine several of them, and it's great fun. So you come up with a game plan on how to avoid the hurt. Come find mommy. Just continue to love. You're going to get hurt. You're going to love. You're going to hurt more. You're going to love bigger even more. Then the next verse is, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. A great definition of meekness, because I think often we can, in our mind, meekness with humility. We get them, they are married, but they are also separate. Humility has to do with myself. I'm bringing myself to a point of lowness before you. But meekness is me towards other people. This is something that that's probably why I didn't want my mom in here. My mom is constantly, I don't have a meek way of saying things. And as I teach my kids, mommy will say, I'm talking to myself right now too. Because I can say to you, well, I love you. But it's the way that I delivered it. Now, I do love you, but the way I delivered it. And I don't mean it sometimes when I'm like, okay, can you come here and help me? If somebody on the outside heard that, hey, shark. My mom's constantly, Becca. But No. Heather, you can tell my mom I said this because we go a little bit out, talk about this. She'll go, Becca, that wasn't said very nicely. Okay, mom. You know, we watched it in a store, or maybe we've been that person where you see a mom and she's just so harsh with her kids, and what do the young people say? It's cringy. It's just you feel, you ache for that little human. You ache for the mom. Do you realize the people that are around you that are seeing you not have meekness, not show meekness? It's a treatment of others. It's not us being a doormat. Oh, okay, you can have one more piece of chocolate. But that's not meekness. It is a spirit of gentleness. And you can be firm and still be gentle. I think another thing with meekness is it's in our actions and in our words. So the way that we would say things to people, we need to have a spirit of meekness with our children, but I think also in our actions. I don't think this is a very meek spirit. My husband said something. That's not a meek spirit. That's not a meek action that I just did. It goes, because again, your kids are catching glimpses of how you react. So the pastor says something, or you lean over to your kid and you say some snarky remarks. It's not a spirit of meek. Your kids are picking up on that. Our kids are picking up on that. With all authority, with the police officer, any authority that is above us, they're watching how we react. And we need to have that meek spirit because we'll be blessed by it. The next verse is, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, that they shall be filled. Do you? Do you thirst and hunger after righteousness? Do you have, as Mrs. Walker talked about last night, the awareness of God, the AOG? I thought that was really sweet. Do you have that? Do you thirst after being in constant communion with our Savior? Do you hunger after preaching? And, you know, we check off the box, some of us maybe, where, well, I do Sunday. Good. I'm golden. I do church on Sunday, and that's the end. That's not showing, if you ate once a week, just on Sunday morning, that's not a thirsty and a hungry. What about your devotions? Now, I'm not saying for you to go ahead and completely revamp where you do your devotions, but I do think that it is important for your kids to, sometimes if they can't, if you don't go out into the living room and, you know, do it in the morning out in the living room, and you, I mean, I don't all the time. I'm in my bedroom most of the time. But I think it's very important that our kids, if they don't see you doing your devotion, they hear you talking about, this is what I got out from, you know, what I read this morning. This was really helpful. What I read yesterday morning. They need to, they're watching. And they need to see that mom hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Your devotions. The music that we're playing in the car, in the house. If your first instinct is to not turn on music that is pleasing to the Lord, they're picking up on that. They know, mom's just, it's just when she gets to church. Or maybe on our way to church, she's going to turn on godly music. That's the only time mom's hungry and thirsting after righteousness. It should be all the time. Like food and water. Food and beverage. We need to thirst and hunger after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, in verse 7, for they shall obtain mercy. We have to have the mercy, lady. Now, Alicia, if you'll, because I can't sing, and you can. Do you know? No, I have timing. Have you been screaming a lot in,
yes,
in Washington? Let's see. So Micah 6:8. He has showed me. Nobody knows this.
I
need my Amelia. Okay, so it's Micah 6:8. He has showed me. Echo.
Oh man,
what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly,
but to do justly,
and to love mercy,
and to love mercy,
and to walk humbly with thy God. And you're going to want me to do a CD next time. Deal's a deal just now. Okay? Do justly, love mercy. We have to have mercy in our home, in our car, at the store. And that is not just to our family members in the car and in the home. It's to, this is Becky speaking to herself. I am a reactor. If somebody is rude to me, I want to give them a taste of their own medicine. Then my sis would fire Josiah. You'll just scream. No, it's not Josiah. They're mean. They need to know that they're mean. And I need to show them. That's my job. That's not showing mercy. And so, you know, this is going back to the blessed are they that are poor in spirit. The humility. I'm learning from my kids. And that's what we have to have that. Poor in spirit and the meekness to say, teach me. You guys are my example. But we need to have that mercy in our homes as well. And I mean it, they're watching when that person that you're on the phone with, customer service, and they're just rude. They hear your end of it. They don't hear their rudeness. They just hear your rudeness, and they're like, whew, that's cringy. Or the person who's dealing with you at whatever store it is or whatever restaurant it is. I don't know, maybe it's just me. I just want to show them. But that's not being merciful, and my kids are watching that. And then in the next verse, in 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I think it was what Mrs. Reynolds had mentioned last night about the young lady, you know, who sang with a smile, and somebody said, you're being fake. there are those ladies that we love to be with. And what do we say about them? She's just real. She's just genuine. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. She's pure in heart. Matthew 12, 34 and 35. Let's see, I took pictures. Well, here, I'll just turn. Matthew 12, 34 and 35. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? This is the point. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. So what is in here, pure of heart, is going to come out. Mm-hmm. And it's a cycle. Because if you are thirsting and hungering after righteousness, that's what's going to be in your heart, and that's what's going to come out. Your pureness of heart will come out. Blessed are the peacemakers is the next one, for they shall be called the children of God. We all know with our husbands, with our children, those little remarks that we can do that will dig. And sometimes, whatever the excuse is, they're silly. We could stay at that time of the month. We could stay at the head of that day. We need to ditch those excuses. They're not, moms, don't stir up grief. Do not stir up strife. Those little remarks, I don't remember. I was asking the Lord last night just to give me an example that I could use of that, because I don't know, I pick on Josiah, maybe because he's so tall. I can't take him down. But, you know, that I know what's going to dig with him, with whatever it may be. And I couldn't come up with an example, but I know the last time it was just, I knew it was going to hurt, and I said it anyways. I'm not being a peacemaker, and I'm not going to get the blessing. Don't stir up the anger. A soft answer turneth away wrath. The ultimate peacemaker was Jesus. And he's our example. He was the peacemaker between man and God. And then finally, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There's going to be opposition. Your kids are going to say, why can't we watch that movie? So some of the opposition is going to come from within the house. Some of it's going to come from the outside. Why can't we watch that movie? Ladies, there are what we allow into our homes. You may not see it. It may have made for a very fun Friday night, family night. We're even doing a family thing. Years later, you reap because of this movie and that movie. And I'm just, it's, there's so much yuck out there. Be very, very careful what movies. Music, same thing. Whatever, you know, you and your husband, you have to ask the Lord what your standard is. Shoot high. Really shoot high. Because your next generation is probably, our prayer is that they will take it to another level. But probably if your standard is here, you're going to bring it down a couple notches. So if you allow these movies, or these cartoons, or these toys, be really, really careful. And you're going to get the persecution. You're going to get the, oh, mom, so-and-so watches it, and so-and-so, I'm sorry. We're just not going to. We have so many other things. People are asking us all the time, have you watched this movie? Have you watched that movie? Sorry. We don't have the time. We really don't. But my kids know Laurel Hardy. Why can't I be with that friend or that person? It's a big deal. This age is tough to watch. But as they get older, the friends are the influencers. And you're going to get the questions from the kids. Hopefully you have their heart. And you can say, trust me. There's some things I see. You're going to also get the persecution from extended family. Mm-hmm. Why do you all dress like that? Well, why can't they go to this place? Well, why can't they sleep over at our house? I'm family. It's just, we love you. We haven't actually had to have those conversations. I think our family knows not to ask because we don't want to hear the answer. But, no, they can stay the night, cousins can stay the night at our house. But no, they can't, you guys can't go over there to sleep over. And the persecution about standards. I'm saying, with a spirit of meekness, stand still. Stand in that spot. It's gonna come. But theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Thus, those of us who stand strong against that persecution, whether it's from our kids or it's from the outside. And then it says at the end of that chunk, blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. But rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Ladies, we need to have the Beatitudes of parenting. Mama first. Mama first and foremost. We could talk later a whole litany of, you know, things to do and things not to do with your little kids, your big kids. But it really is the lady that you look at in the mirror and you're like, that's the person you need to have the Beatitudes with. Okay? So we need to have real quick spirit of
humility and desperation.
Yes, poor in spirit, humility and desperation. Mourn, hurt with your kids. They're big. It's big deals for them. Meekness. Let's not be cringy. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Let's be merciful to others. For me, it's a bigger deal outside than to my own family. Pure in heart, peacemakers, persecuted for righteousness. We're in it together. We have this awesome, awesome gift of getting to be moms. Yes, yes. What a treat. It's not a woe is me. Let's get it, baby. All right, let's pray real fast. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you. Please help us to not forget. Help us to change ourselves as moms. Lord, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.